Good afternoon. You're the first one who's come today. There's a lot of people that were up late last night for Hoshana Rabbah, so I'm sensing the class is probably going to be canceled, but we won't do that for sure for another 4 or 5 minutes. We always wait for at least 10 minutes.
Hi, this is Tanya. So you're saying that the class may not happen?
Yeah, I try not to do classes unless there's at least two people on the
Sure.
recording.
And are you saying I'm the only other one so far?
Right now you're the only other one, and I normally wait till about 10, 12 minutes
Okay.
decide to cancel. So, if you want to stay on for another 4 minutes, we'll make
Sure.
that
What's
decision
the
then.
What's the mute function? Is it star one or star six?
It starts star 6 to mute your phone.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Just as a general discussion, hello?
Morning.
Good morning, Bernice. So we'll begin. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. I'm going to mute everybody's phone because I'm getting some feedback.
Tough time here.
In order to ask any questions, or feel free to ask questions, you'll need to press star 6 to unmute your phone. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa, Gedulat Shemincha.
Notzer chesed la'alafim
Nasayon Wapesha Bekata Vinake. We're now going to say the Shema Yisrael in case people have not done so today. Please close your eyes. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We're now going to say a L'shem Yichud, and following that, we will connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urchimu Hilu Hilu Urchimu Le'afda L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar B'Kama Atar Tanenan B'Kudsha Barichu koma de'aved le'ela w'tata kola ihu kishot b'yovada dikshot v'leid lach mila b'alma divaye barnash v'dach yaleya mineya ulan haga de'ya tulana Ha hu ovada dikshot im v'kola yisterich b'alma. The energy of this current year, 5779. Is that it is a period of time to gain wisdom. It's a time to become wise. There are no verses in the Tanakh directly with this energy, but there are three verses that have concealed within it the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Tet. The letters of these names in each verse are separated by two letters each. And the two letters represent blockages that need to be removed in order to reveal the energy of the year, which is to become wise. So by reading these three verses, studying these three verses, we begin the first step in removing these blockages. The first verse that we study is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. Ve'imad ele lo tishme'u li v'yasafti v'yasra'echem sheva al hatotechem. The second verse we study comes from Isaiah. It is chapter 36, verse 6. In this verse, the letters of the year, Tafshin Ayin Tet, are in reverse order. Hine batachta al mishenet hakane haratzut hazeh al mitzrayim asher yisameh Ishalaluva Bekapon Kava Kain Paro Melech Mitzrayim Lekoba Habotim Alav. The third verse the prophet Micah from chapter 6, verse 13. Vagam ani hecheleiti akotecha hashmem al hatotecha. The fourth verse, connecting to the energy of 5779, starts with the letter He and ends with the letter Tet, and this indicates that the energies are similar, if not the same. There are 13 verses in the Tanakh that have this attribute, and this coming year is a pregnant year. It's a year, a leap year. So there are two Adars. There's 13 months in the year. So we have chosen to study one verse each month. And the verse that we are studying is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10. This connects to the energy of Tishrei. Hu kam vayach vaplishtim. Ad ki yaga yado, vati bak yado, el hacherev vayas, Adonayo he wahe, teshua gedola bayom havu, beham yashuvu acharav ach vipashet. The year 5778, the previous year, had the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. Essentially, it was the energy to help us reduce our egos. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayichal Vayavo, Hamelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Davo, Natamar, Achoti Udlabev, Leine Shete Levivo, Vievre Miyada. The second verse comes from Joshua. Excuse me, it comes from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshinayim Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha, wawoni lokisiti. Amarti ode ale peshai la donar yo he wa he we atana sata awon chatati sela. The year 5777 also has two verses that connect to its energy. The energy of the year is that of the wake-up call, but it also has the energy of the goat. The first verse we study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chimam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we permute them into Dir Yam, which is translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse comes from Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashinayim Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the Year of the Pause, also has two verses that connect to this energy. The first verse that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot Vayahaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kelot Hamlacha V'ad Yitkadshu Hakohanim Ki Halevim Yishrei Levav Lehitkadesh Me Hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Here are those names. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rekaha. The second verse that has this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu v'Adonai Yohewahe Adead Ki b'yayohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 has three verses that connect to its energy of swallowing death forever. The first verse we study is from Job, chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next we will study 1 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Uru, Mikol HaMachavoyim, Asher Yitzhabei Sham Wishavtem, Eilai El Nachon, Wehalakti Yitzhem, Wechayayim Yeshno, Baretz Vechipasti, O Tov B'kol Alfei Yehuda. The third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetza yoved ro'al yomru ayom. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that is in that connects to this energy in all of the Tanakh. That is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avlala noto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shilalahe aka atahita hezayo alada La awa he he ya, yoza la me be he, he re yo he go me. La awa ka la yo, la wa wa pe he la. Nu la cha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa. Nu ta he hi a, yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ta wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za hey 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 me me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo hey hey shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be hey be wa yo nu me me yo yo la hey re hey me sa re wa me be yo hey hey anu wa me hey yo da me be me nu ko ayo a hey be wa re a hey yo be me hey yo yo me 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 wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa he nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ha a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za me he shi he he me me ka ko me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a wa a la me ta he wa he me wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo wa he ala wa me za yo da he be me ka ko ala a te he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 21st day of Tishrei, Rabbi Eliezer Papo, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Primishklan, Rabbi David Moshe Friedman of Hordakov, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Margiliot, Rabbi Abraham Shmuel Binyamin, known as the Sofer, Rabbi Yaakov Aryeh Twersky, known as the Trisker Rebbe. And as we usually do on Sunday, we also read and connect to the Tzaddikim that will come tonight after sundown until tomorrow, which is the 22nd of Tishrei. Rabbi Aaron Halevi Horowitz of Stroshel, Rabbi Shraga Feivel of Gritza, Rabbi Moshe Shmuel Glasner, Rabbi David Shapiro of Sonic Dido, Rabbi Moshe Yaakov HaKohen Revikov, and Nadvorna Rebbe of Petach Tikva. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Since we are coming to the end of the Tishrei holidays, Monday and Tuesday are still holidays, but we have covered the Zohar on the parasha, on the holiday of Shmini Atzeret, and that includes the holiday of Simchat Torah. So we are beginning to study for the normal reading of the week. And so today we are starting a new series of classes, which are the birth pangs of the Mashiach, referred to as the Chevlei Mashiach. You can find the handout on class 8, or row 8, the right-hand column. When you open that up, you'll find that there are four classes in the series, but that is just the beginning. There were many more that we will do over time. We're starting with the first class. And just because we've said the Baruch Shem, to be safe, I will say another L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bovathe V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeh Kuneneh Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeh Kunenehu. This course will be a many-week course. We will be reading the words of the prophets and that teach us about the coming of Mashiach. Our sages teach that this period is called the birth pangs of Mashiach, or the Hevlei Mashiach in Hebrew. Birth pangs are meant to be painful because they are cleansing the sin of the female associated with the first sin in the Garden of Eden between Adam, or performed by Adam and Chava. Our first question, which we will not answer until the end of the series of classes, is why is it called birth pangs? And what is the meaning of birth pangs? The hint our sages give us to answer this question relates to childbirth. Women were cursed to have pain in childbirth. Does the birth of Mashiach also need to come with pain? This series of classes will allow you to answer this question for yourself. I will be bringing many of the words of the prophets themselves, along with the various commentaries that our sages have used to explain the words of the prophets. I hope you enjoy the journey and use this revelation of light to guide you through this period called the birth pangs of Mashiach. Today there are many voices crying out from the land of Israel, telling people this is the last chance to make Aliyah prior to the Armageddon War. And this has been going on since around the year 2012, or the year 5772. It has strong, year by year has gotten stronger in the amount of people recommending Aliyah and the amount of people who are promulgating this idea that it's the last chance. Understand that I do not think it's the last chance, but as is my normal approach to information in the Torah, I try to present both sides. what is the Armageddon War? We will come to discover the meaning of this term through the words of the prophets themselves, not through the corruption that has been passed down through the centuries as supposedly truth. It is important to have a clear understanding of what is a prophet, and why did Hashem provide this medium to communicate with the nation? Who is the first prophet? Before I go into the question of who was the first prophet, I'm going to do an unwritten commentary to remind you that in the book of Exodus, Moses is referred to as an Elohim, which means God, is the usual translation, a God of judgment. But it all goes on to say that Aaron is Moses' prophet. So what we understand as a prophet for God, or the false prophets for other gods, all of these terms are not really defined clearly. And over these classes, I hope to make clear, what does it mean to be a prophet? Continuing to read. Question is, what is the Armageddon War? We will come to discover the meaning of this term through the words of the prophets themselves, not through the corruption. And I've already read this paragraph, but I wanted to reinforce the understanding. It is important to have a clear understanding of what is a prophet, and why did Hashem provide this medium, to communicate with the nation? Who was the first prophet according to Judaism? The age of prophecy ended with the construction of the Second Temple. There are some unusual happenings within the ranks of the prophets prior to the close of the age of prophecy that we will discuss when we get to them in this process of learning and discovery. The first prophet. According to Judaism, the first prophet was Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. We learn from this that both men and women may be prophets. Also, we learn that any person may be a prophet. We also learn that Hashem must call to the prophet, while the prophet must need to be ready for this call. During the first temple times, there were schools that taught techniques to become a prophet. These schools taught different approaches to prepare to be a prophet, yet they were similar in that they taught various techniques that were first articulated by Abraham in the Sefer Yetzirah. Many of these techniques are referenced in the Talmud, and also in the Zohar. I will mention that many of these techniques that were taught in the schools of prophets are taught today. And I was fortunate enough to receive the teachings from one of my teachers. And I do teach the Sefer Yetzirah exactly the way I was taught. So if you are interested in learning these techniques, feel free to contact me to set up the time to study together. During the first temple times, there were schools that taught techniques. I'm sorry, I read this paragraph. Continuing to read where I left off, we learn from these schools many of the teachings that have come down to us orally and through written words of sages, that the prophet does not write down his own prophecies. These written words must be recorded by others who have heard his words spoken. Why is that? Because the energy of these words are too strong for normal people who have not yet cleansed themselves. As they are written down by the students of the prophets, which are called B'nai Nevi'im, the children of the prophets, these words are transformed to a lower level of energy that normal people might hear without losing their free will. According to Judaism, there are 55 prophets from biblical times. There are 48 men and 7 women called prophets. What did these 55 people do? They prepared themselves, some unconsciously, to receive this word of Hashem. Then they were chosen by the words they heard within themselves, that is referred to as the still small voice within. The coded words from the Nevi'im repeated to each of these prophets and recorded by their children are, I am Hashem, and I want you to speak to the people in my name and say the following. There were many other prophets than these 55. Also know that these 55 spoke many other words from Hashem than what is recorded in the Tanakh. What is the difference between these other prophets and these 55? What is the difference between the words recorded and the words lost to posterity? Know that some of these lost words are found in the pseudographia. These are things like the Book of Jubilees and the Book of Hanoch, as well as the Dead Sea Scrolls. Yet the major difference is that the words recorded in the Tanakh speak to each person in each generation. Let me rephrase that and emphasize that. Every verse in the Tanakh, that means the 5 books of Moses, it means the 24 books of the prophets, it means the 5 scrolls, like Esther and Lamentations and Ecclesiastes. Those 5 scrolls that are read on certain holidays, Shabbat. All of the writings, Psalms, Proverbs, anything in the Tanakh, every verse applies to every human being in every generation. So when you read in the analysis of the prophet, this verse, this series of verses, is speaking to something that happened in history. You need to realize that is a lie. It's not true. Or it is true, but there is more. It may apply to what happened in history, but it also will apply to your individual life. And it will apply to what is going on in history today. The words of the Tanakh are living words. They apply to you today, whether you know it, whether you've read them and apply it to yourself, whether you've read them and think it's just history, it applies to you today. continuing to read where I left off. They are not just being said to the people of the generation who lived at the time of the prophet saying them. But this is an amazing revelation. Many of the words of the pseudographia belong to multiple generations, but they do not belong to each and every generation. Perhaps they belong to our generation, as the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in our generation. Perhaps not. This is for each and every person to determine for themselves. The other words also belong to a specific or multiple generations, but do not belong to each person in each generation. This is an amazing teaching as well, and is important for those people who study the Bible, because it reinforces the words of the Zohar that the Bible is a metaphor, and not to be understood solely as the surface meaning of the words. With this said, let us continue to explore. One of the last principles of Judaism, as set forth by Maimonides, is to believe with perfect faith that the Mashiach will come. We wait for him to come with perfect faith. As we explore the prophets in their words and in the context of their generation, we will also explore the meaning of this principle. As a general aside, there are teachings that say the Mashiach does not have to come as a human being. There are teachings that say he must manifest as a human being. There are teachings that say the Armageddon war must manifest, and there are teachings that say it does not need to manifest. But the energy can come in a peaceful way. I am leaving the decision to your free will. I hope to present the material for you to determine the truth of these conflicting teachings for yourself. Remember the words of the Talmud. These and these, or these and those, are the words of the ever-living God, which we are taught to interpret as the meaning, these conflicting teachings are both true, and both are correct, and both might manifest. How can that be? They seem to be diametrically opposed. That is the study of Kabbalah. It gives you a perception of how to reconcile what appears in the illusion to be irreconcilable. It gives you a perception of how to reconcile the paradoxes of life. I hope you succeed. I know up till now, I have succeeded for myself. It is incumbent on all of us to study all of the Tanakh, not just the five books that we read every week. Not just the Haftorahs that are read at the same time, but all of the prophecies, all of the books of prophets, all of the writings, all of the Tanakh. Let us look at the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 29. And you may find that on the Michon Mamre website. I'm only going to read it in the English because of time considerations. But as I read it in the English, I will be scanning it in the Hebrew. Also, how to find the Mechon Mamre website. To do a search, a web page search, Google or Bing, any of the major search engines, the spelling of Mechon Mamre is as follows. Mechon, M-E-C-H-O-N, hyphen, M-A-M-R-E, .org. When that opens up, you're looking for the Hebrew English, or if you want to go just to the English, which I do not recommend because the energy is in the Hebrew letters. But then click on the link to the prophet Isaiah and scroll down to chapter 29. We're starting with verse 1 and we're scanning the Hebrew. Ariel, Ariel, the city where David encamped. Add ye year to year, let the feasts come round. Second verse. Then will I distress Ariel, and there shall be mourning and moaning, and she shall be unto me as a hearth of God, a hearth of Hashem. Now it's important to realize what is the meaning of the word Ariel. It's spelled Aleph Resh Yud Aleph Lamed. The last two letters, Aleph Lamed, spell the word for God, El. Aleph Resh Yud is really a shortened version of Or, Aleph Vav Resh. Because the Vav is missing and because the vowels have changed does not mean it's not the word Or. The word Or means light in Hebrew. A yud at the end of a word, as in Ari, is translated as the personal pronoun my. So this Ariel can be translated as my light of God, my light of El, or El's light, or El's light for you. Many ways to translate. But here in the first verse, we've been said that it is a city where David encamped. Most people would jump to the conclusion that Ariel is Jerusalem. But Jerusalem has a different meaning. It represents the energy of Yirah, of awe or fear, and also the energy of Shalem, completion, or Shalom, peace. Ariel means the light of God. Jerusalem means something else. But how do we understand the idea of the light of God being a city where David encamps? It's simple or complex, depending on how you want to interpret it. David connected to the light of God all the time. And he encamped closer to God. He is a chariot for Malchut, one of the ten Sephirot, is Malhut, can that be considered a city? I once heard one of my teachers say that the word city is actually a code word for technology and technological improvement. I don't know if that's true. Something for you to consider. The second verse. Then will I distress Ariel, and there shall be mourning and moaning, and she shall be unto me as a hearth of God, a hearth of El. The third verse. And I will encamp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mound, and I will raise siege works against these, against thee. Now, during our Psalms classes on Friday morning, we frequently, almost every verse, count the number of words and letters. So I'd like to do that just this one verse. And I'm taking this randomly. I could do any verse. It's just to give you an example. How many words are in the third verse in Hebrew? There are 9 words. 9 words, if we count from the bottom up, is the Sephirah of Chokmah, of wisdom. 9, if we count down, is the Sephirah of sexuality, of Yesod. How do we know which way we're counting? By counting the letters, it should give us an indication. I have not done this before. I'm just explaining the technique. Count the letters in the third verse. There are 41 letters. 41 is the gematria of the Hebrew word aim, which translates as mother. It's telling us that we're counting up, approaching Chokmah, because we've reached Bina. Bina means the mother. It means the energy store. It means the understanding. The fourth verse. This pause is for me to scan the Hebrew. And brought down, thou shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as a ghost out of the ground, and thy speech shall chirp out of the dust. Is that describing our modern technology of cell phones and television sets? Just a thought. The fifth verse. But the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones as chaff that passes away. Yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. The verse is telling us these multiple foes, these multiple problems, are really just one. And they're saying, whatever your troubles are, they're going to be dismissed. They're going to be made not a trouble. When will that happen is the question that people raise. Everybody wants to know when. And my answer to you who's asking this question is what the sages have taught. When you ask when, you start over. If you understand and know that we are all going to return to the endless world, there is no loss of who your soul is, of who you are, because you are your soul. If you know that in your heart, if you know that in your head, and you've unified those two aspects, whatever happens tomorrow is just part of the path to reach where all of the problems go away in a flash, in a minute, in an instant. The sixth verse. There shall be a visitation from Hashem of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire. This verse sounds like it's describing Mount Sinai. But Isaiah lived after Mount Sinai. So it's got to be talking about something that would happen after Mount Sinai again, a second time, or maybe multiple times. I have spoken to a number of people who have used the techniques taught by the prophets, taught in the Sefer Yetzirah. And many of them have had experiences that they would describe in this way. Perhaps even myself. I don't say I did, I don't say I didn't. Because I don't want to take away your free will in the sense that I know everything, because I don't. But I'm asking you to open your minds as you read the prophets and see what can be seen, to hear what can be heard, to smell what can be smelled, to touch what can be touched, and to taste what can be tasted. The seventh verse. And the multitude of all the nations that war against Ariel, even all that war against her, and the bulwarks about her, and they that distress her, shall be as a dream, a vision of the night, something that fades away in the light of day. That last phrase was my addition to help you understand. The eighth verse. And it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eats, but he awakes, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he drinks, but he awakes, and behold, he is faint. And his soul has appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. The ninth pasuk. Stupefy yourselves and be stupid. Blind yourselves and be blind. Ye that are drunk, but not with wine, that stagger, but not with strong drink. Is this talking about drug addiction? Or is it talking about someone who is connecting to Hashem and feels overwhelmed by the visions and the lights that he sees or senses. The 10th pasuk. For Hashem has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets in your heads, the seers, has Hashem covered? The 11th pasuk. I hope you realize I could spend many more hours with these verses. And the vision of all this is become unto you as the words of a writing that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. This is the way most people see the prophets. They don't understand what they read because it's sealed. It has to be opened. The effort has to be put forth to open it. The 12th pasuk. And the writing is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I am not learned. The 13th pasuk. And the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near, and with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but I have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is a mitzvah of men learned by rote. It's saying to us, you cannot do mitzvot automatically. You can't get up and roll out of bed and walk to the synagogue and start to pray. You have to learn to do it with kavanah, with intention, that it has meaning to you. Yes, we are taught, just say them. Just scan the words. But ultimately, we all will need to read them, to understand them, to interpret them. And my interpretation and your interpretation, each is just as valid as the other one. That's why we study the sages, because the different interpretations is what helps us find the interpretation that is right for us, that is our truth. The 14th verse. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the prudence of their prudent men shall be hid. It's a prophecy of concealment of Hashem, and the words of Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem, it will be difficult to find in some generations, in some times. Was it difficult to find the wisdom of Hashem in the camps of the Shoah? The answer is, of course it was. Who had the strength to study Torah? Who had the strength even to remember what they had studied as a child? The 15th verse. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from Hashem, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who sees us, and who knows us? You're seeing that happen now. You're seeing that happen in the mathematics that are being developed right now out of social media that took place in the 2016 election, not to discuss politics, but to understand all of the information that is being gathered, that is starting to be developed and utilized, quote unquote, scientifically. Does that see you? Does that, because that person sees this data and interprets this data, does it, is that who you are? The 17th pasuk. It is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. The 18th pasuk. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of a book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Does that mean people who cannot hear and people who cannot see? Or is it people who see and hear, but choose not to understand? Verse 19. The humble also shall increase their joy in Hashem, and the neediest among men shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Verse 20. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner ceases, and all they that watch for iniquity are cut off. 21st pasuk. That makes a man an offender by words, and lays a snare for him, that reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just with a thing of nothing, a thing of naught. The 22nd verse. Therefore, thus says the Lord, says Hashem, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. These are code words that the Zohar explains. The 23rd verse. When he sees his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, that they sanctify my name, yea, they shall sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall stand in awe of Hashem of Israel. I'm curious, so I'm going to count the words in this verse. There are 16 words. I don't offhand have a meaning for the number 16. I struggle with it because I was born on the 16th day of Kislev. And I've struggled with what is the meaning of 16. What I do know about 16 is it is a gematria of Yud and Vav. These are the two male letters of the name Hashem in the spelling Yud Hey Vav Hey. How many letters? There are 68 letters. 68 is the gematria of the Hebrew word chaim, that is plural, but it means lives. It means living. How does that relate to the 16? If you add 16 to 68, you get 84, which is the gematria of the name Hanoch, representing Chen, 26. 84 represents the hidden wisdom of Mahashem. The 24th verse. They also that err in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn instruction. This is a verse that promises completion, no matter what mistake you have made at the spiritual level or the physical level. Let us return to these verses, but I'm going to actually stop the class because we're like 20 minutes over time. And we will pick this up next Sunday, right here, after the reading of the prophecy of Isaiah. And we will go through some additional information, additional commentary. I'm going to unmute the phone so that you can ask questions. Does anyone have any questions? Our next class is at 3 p.m. West Coast time. It will be a class continuing our study of advanced reincarnation. The holidays tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, depending on how long the services take that I am leading, I may have our normal classes at 4:30, a deeper Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, the various classes. On Monday would be a writings of the Ari, and Tuesday would be a Tikkuni Zohar class. Normal classes will resume on Wednesday at 4:30 and again at 7. That's a deeper Zohar class on the Parashah of Lech Lecha. And the 7 o'clock class is questions and answers. Feel free to join at any of the classes. And I bid you all have a happy Chag Sameach. Shalom to all.
Chag Sameach. Shalom.
Hello. Have a beautiful holiday.
You too. Have a beautiful holiday.